the supplication on Thursdays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, who has taken away the shadowy night by His power and brought the sight-giving day through His mercy. He has clothed me in its brightness and given me its favor. O Allah, just as Thou hast spared me for this day, so also spare me for its likes. Bless the Prophet Muhammad and his household, and torment me not in it and in other nights and days by allowing me to commit unlawful acts and to clothe myself in sins. Provide me with its good, the good of all within it, and the good of everything after it, and turn away from me its evil, the evil of all within it, and the evil of everything after it. O Allah, by the protective compact of Islam, I seek mediation with Thee, and by the inviolability of the Quran, I rely upon Thee. By Muhammad, the Chosen, Allah bless him and his household, I seek intercession with Thee. So recognize my protective compact, by which I hope my need will be granted. O most merciful of the merciful, O Allah, decree for me on Thursday 5 things, which none embraces but Thy generosity, and none supports but Thy favors. Health through which I may have the strength to obey Thee. Worship by which I may deserve Thy plentiful reward. Plenty in my state through lawful provision. And that Thou makest me secure in the places of fear through Thy security. And placest me in Thy fortress against the striking of worries and sorrows. Bless Muhammad and his household. And make my seeking his mediation as an intercessor give profit on the day of resurrection. Surely, Thou art the most merciful of the merciful.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, this is today's special. So welcome. Today we're going to speak about how to manage stress in Islam.
Ya Allah, Ya Rahman, haqqiq amanina, waffiqna fi kulli an, fi ma sa'ina.
Grateful today for difference and change, for all colors and shades, 'cause you made it this way. وهبتنا النبراس بحب كل الناس أغدق لنا إحساس أنت هادينا.
Today, Wednesday, is the 27th of Rabiul Awwal, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 12th of Aban, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 3rd of November, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. By listening to verse 153 of chapter Baqarah, We bless this moment.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة إن الله مع الصابرين.
O you who have believed, seek help through patience and prayer. Indeed, Allah is with the patient.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
Real faith can never be mere empty words. It must express or manifest itself through patience and endurance in all that befalls the individual to show his faithfulness to Allah. The help from Allah must be sought through prayers or supplications to the Lord. The objective meaning of the phrase Allah is with the patient ones is that his help, assistance, guidance, success, favors, the protection from pests, the perfection of intentions, as well as his other blessings are showered upon the patient by him. Those who are extremely stressed can find peace and relaxation by utilizing different Islamic oases. Medicine has been proven to be inefficient in dealing with the original causes of stress, nor can it adequately eliminate all of its symptoms. Medicine may be necessary for a person in the most critical stages of chronic stress, but medicine alone may not be enough to achieve a cure for all its symptoms. Scientists are trying to find new strategies to cope with the stress and minimize its effects. These include relaxation techniques, meditation, imagination, 2, 5, and yoga, 6. These techniques are extensively studied to determine their effects and mechanisms of action. Different studies have confirmed the efficacy of these techniques in coping with the stress and eliminating its effects. Most of these techniques are rooted in Islamic spirituality and different Islamic forms of worship, ibadah, which can be considered as good tools for coping with life's stresses. Those who are extremely stressed can find peace and relaxation for their minds, body, and soul utilizing the following Islamic oases. Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with how to confront stress or how to manage stressful situations. We have to know that we ourselves should make a great change in our current situation. It's we who are expected to make such a great change in our current situations. For example, in the Holy Quran, it's indicated, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِقَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not make any change in our affairs unless we make the initial changes. It doesn't mean that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala obeys us, but it implies that we are not robots. I mean, we are expected to take the initial and the first steps in order to make a great change in our situation, in our community, and in our current system. So we find that, I mean, based on such indications, we find that those people who are rather forgetful or oblivious regarding their own situation, they are not expected to see any improvement in their lives, because they themselves haven't been that active. In contrast to this, we find that those people who are active, who use power of intellection and brain, and I mean the power of thinking, and they are thoughtful enough, they think about any situation or any forthcoming case and context, so they would be able to take the right decision at the right time.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio. Today's special.
Looking at the ways to lower our daily stress, we reach to enjoying the company of family and friends. The lonelier you are, the more you will attract negative feelings. Keep in touch with your family members and close friends to feel better and spread some love. A study from the University of Michigan found that chatting released hormones involved in bonding, which in turn reduced anxiety and stress, thus making the participants happier. So to reduce stress, enjoy some time with your family and friends by doing any kinds of activity. For example, go for a picnic, a bike ride, or just chat. Not only will it help reduce your stress levels, but also help to build strong bonds between each other.
Shining bright, you came to us with a heart so full of love. And you showed that you're the one who cares the most. And to us you've always been so close. Everyone will say, please save me, accept al-Habib. Ummati, Ummati, يقولها لنا يوم القيامة. أمتي أمتي يقولها شفاعة أنا لها.
Other ways is coping with the stress. Although we are all exposed to stress, why can some of us cope with it better than others? Is it the way we deal with the stressors or the way we are built? There are some evidence to suggest that some of us may be genetically predisposed to depression or have deficiency in the level of neurotransmitters. The mood-regulating hormones or just do not produce enough adrenaline on demand. A person's religious belief has an important bearing on his personality and his outlook in life. By putting the trust in Allah, a belief minimizes the stress on him by reducing his responsibility and power to control his failures. Sayyid Saleh al-Qazvini.
It is said that Harun, they call him Harun al-Rashid, Harun the wise man. But he was not a wise man because of what he did to the imams of his time, especially Imam al-Kadhim alayhi salam. Harun, he used to speak to the clouds. He used to say, go to the east, go to the west. Wherever you reign, I will benefit. The zakat will come and I will benefit from your reign. They say that the last day of his life, They brought him on a hill and he was watching his army. He had thousands, a huge army under his hands, under his order. But they brought him. There was a small drop of water. It came on his face. It came on his body. Suddenly he felt, he started shivering. He started shivering and he realized that this is his last hour. That moment he realized that his life is over. His mulk, everything that he had, was gone right before his eyes. At that moment he says, Ya man la yazulu mulkuh, irham man qad zala mulkuh. That moment, this man Harun, who had the imam of his time in the chambers, in the dungeon, that time he realized, no, Allah is the one who's in control. It's not me. So he said, Ya man la yazulu mulkuh. Oh, he who his power, his kingdom is never taken away from him, have mercy on the one whose kingdom is taken away from him. This is life, my dear brothers and sisters. No matter how successful we think we are, eventually a day will come when we have to separate from whatever we believe is success. This is why when we believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our perception of success is going to be completely different. This is why we need to believe in the ghaib, believing in the unseen. And this is the first ingredient to iman. When you open the Quran, the second page of the Quran, Surah Al-Baqarah, how does it start? Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alif Lam Mim. ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ. This book, this religion, is for the ones who believe in the unseen. If you are not willing to believe in the unseen, if you're not willing to have faith, then you're not going to find satisfaction. Then you're always going to be restless. You're always going to be in anxiety. And this is the problem.
I was so far from you, yet to me you were always so close. I wandered lost in the dark. I closed my eyes to all the signs you put in my way. I walked every day further.
Dear friends, dear believers, we hope you've made the most use of today's program. Please send your comments and suggestions at parstoday.com/yen. Please do keep us in your prayer. Fi amanillah.
Food for thought.
Hello, dear listeners, and here is another thought-provoking saying for our guidance from Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. Live amongst the people in such a manner that if you die, they weep for you, and if you're alive, they crave for your company.
Join us in this journey. IRIB English Radio.
please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Sayyidina wa Nabiyyina wa Mawlana Abil Qasim al-Mustafa Muhammad wa ala Ahli Baytihid al-Tayyibin al-Tahirin al-Ma'asumin. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear listeners. Welcome to another episode of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. In one of our previous episodes, we spoke about a tradition that revolved around a person and the need of the person to aid and to assist those who are oppressed and to go against those who are obviously oppressing and who are wronging. And the reward of such will be that a person will be with the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in paradise, in his position, or rather with the Holy Prophet as one of the Holy Prophet's companions. Now in this tradition, we would like to mention the opposite, in that a person who supports a wrongdoer, a person who supports an oppressor, now this doesn't have to be, you know, a physical type of support or monetary. It can be something just like aiding in holding the umbrella for that person also, as we will see in another tradition that will be mentioned in a future episode, inshallah. But in this tradition, it shows that, you know, the smallest assistance towards an oppressor will include you amongst the people who are counted as the aiders and the supporters of that oppressor or of that wrongdoer. So we see in this tradition from the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who is reported to have said that on the day of resurrection, on the day of judgment, a caller will call out, "Where are the wrongdoers and their helpers?" So we see again here, it is not just the wrongdoer who will be called out, also those who supported them. Now obviously, if a person physically helps a wrongdoer, he himself becomes a wrongdoer. So why is helpers included here? There must be a difference between the two sets of people. And then the caller will explain what he means by helpers and say, whoever prepared the inkwell for them, the smallest thing as bringing a pot of ink so that the oppressor can write a particular verdict or edict in order to do something oppressive, this is considered as helping the oppressor. Or tied their purse for them. For example, a bag was brought, that there was something in this bag for this oppressive tyrant or for this oppressor or for this wrongdoer. And a person merely just tied this bag up itself or tied it to the horse or to a vehicle. Or if you want to put it in today's words, he helped put something inside the car, for example. Or supplied them with a pen pen, a tool, an instrument. Gather them all together with them. That all of these people who did this for the oppressors, for the wrongdoers, they must be gathered with those wrongdoers. And we know that their gathering place will be the fire of hell. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to assist us in acknowledging and understanding and seeing right from wrong, and to put us with those who are of the right, inshallah, with the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. Until next time, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure. Oh Lord, here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
Iqra. بسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
فدعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانا يا من ينجينا إحسانا ودعوتك ربي بقرآني.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the soul of Prophet Muhammad and his purified progeny. Dear audience, Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to another episode of the program Let's Recite the Quran, coming to you from the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. I'm your host, Mahdi, and we are joined by Quran expert, dear brother Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Wa alaikum assalam, Brother Mahdi, and assalamu alaikum to all of you, dear listeners of this program. As always, I'm glad to be with you.
Thank you. Well, dear audience, as you may know, the program Let's Recite the Quran consists of several interesting parts, all of them pertaining to the Holy Quran. At first, we're going to talk about a famous reciter of the Holy Quran, and then we're going to listen to a recitation of that famous reciter. After it, Brother Muhammad is going to analyze that recitation, and beside these parts, we're going to have some other interesting Quranic parts, which will be presented to you. So please stay tuned. Today we are going to listen to a recitation by Sheikh Abdul Mun'im al-Tukhi. Sheikh Abdul Mun'im al-Tukhi was born in a village in the north of Egypt in 1954. His father, who was a Hafiz and memorizer of the Holy Quran, encouraged him to begin learning the Noble Quran at an early age. He managed to memorize the Noble Quran completely at the age of 9, and then he started learning the principles of recitation and soon revealed his exceptional talent in the field. Abdul Mun'im al-Tukhi studied Quran recitation under the care of prominent qaris such as Sheikh Muhammad Rifat, Sheikh Abul Aynain Shu'aisha, and especially Sheikh Mustafa Ismail. He became so popular that he was named Sheikhul Qurra, that means the top Quran reciter of Alexandria in Egypt. He made trips to many countries like Iran, Pakistan, Saudi Arabia, Britain, and China to recite verses of the Noble Quran. Sheikh Abdul Mun'im al-Tukhi passed away in 2007. May Allah bless him. Dear audience, now let's listen to the recitation of verse 8 of Surah Al-Tahrim, recited by Sheikh Abdul Mun'im al-Tukhi, preceded by its English translation. Let's enjoy it.
Kitab Allah, Kitab Allah,
the name of Allah, the absolutely merciful, the especially merciful. O you who believe, turn to Allah with sincere repentance. It may be that your Lord will remit from you your sins and admit you into gardens under which rivers flow, the day that Allah will not disgrace the Prophet and those who believe with him. Their light will run forward before them and on their right. They will say, Our Lord, keep perfect our light for us and grant us forgiveness. Verily, you are able to do all things.
Dear audience, you're still listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran. And what you just listened to was recitation of Surah At-Tahrim, verse 8, recited by Sheikh Abdul Munim At-Tuhi. And now, Brother Muhammad, let's talk about this beautiful recitation.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Okay, we have Ammatul Munfasil right at the beginning of this verse. Ya ayyuha. And because we have a ya with an aliful mad followed by the word ayyuha. These are two separate words. Ya is one word and ayyuha is another word. And because we have a long vowel followed by a hamza in two different words, we have matul munfasil. Ya is ul munfasil.
Disjunct mad.
The allowed disjunct mad. Why is it allowed? Because if you want, you could not apply the med.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you have an option.
You can actually apply مدد طبيعي.
Yes, you could just read the word ya normally, like a normal mad, like an ordinary mad, without the extra lengthening,
yes,
which is four vowel counts. If you double it, it becomes four vowel counts. If you lengthen it a little bit more, it would be five vowel counts. And you have the choice. And Sheikh Abdul Munam al-Tuhi, he lengthens the Maddul Munfasals to five vowel counts, to the maximum number of vowel counts.
And right now, he made the decision.
Yeah. And we also have another Maddul Munfasil in the phrase, Tubu ila.
And here's...
Again, we have a wawul mad here. We don't have an aliful mad. And just like the previous one, as you can clearly see, tubu is one word and ila is another word. So the mad takes place within a phrase, mm-hmm, not a word. If it took place within a word, it would be madul muttasil, the conjunction, mm-hmm, lengthening.
And here, due to the rule consistency, he has only one option.
That's right.
Or one possibility, let's say.
Or one choice.
Mm-hmm.
Because the previous one, he lengthened to five vowel counts. Now he has to lengthen all of the matul munfasils in his recitation to five vowel counts. And we have two more matul munfasils in this verse. Of course, the last one, وَغْفِرْ لَنَا, if you stop on this word, you don't have to apply the Maddul Munfasil. The Maddul Munfasil is only applied if you do wasl. تَوْبَةً نَصُوحًا. Here we have one of the rules of Nun Sakina, which is the rule of Idgham of Nun Sakina, mm-hmm, where actually you have to disregard the place of articulation of noon. In fact, if you get rid of the place of articulation,
the
of
noon completely, I think.
Yeah, you omit it,
mm-hmm,
and then you make the noon, which is after the tanween, mushaddad, and you also apply ghunna for two vowel counts.
Yes.
Tawbatan nasuha.
So one noon is omitted; the next noon will be doubled.
Yeah.
Well, mushaddad.
So the noon actually merges into the next noon.
Mm-hmm.
And we also have the sound of fatha, remember. So it's not that we don't say tawbatan. It's not separate. The fatha and the noon, they come right after another.
We have one mushaddad noon, actually,
we have
with fatha.
Yeah. Tawbatan nasuha. The sad had... Or had, we have to say, the sad has tafkhim because it's a letter of istirla.
Mm-hmm. At a moderate level.
Yeah, the letters of istirla, which are seven, they are sad, lad, ta, la, ghain, and qaf. They're seven. Sad, lad, ta, la, ghain, kha, and qaf. These are the seven letters of istirla, and you have to always pronounce them with tafkhim or thickness. Nasuhan asa. Here we have another rule of nun sakina, which is ilhar of nun sakina, which means that you have to pronounce the tanween or the nun sakina fully.
Mm-hmm. And completely.
Yeah, completely. The noon is pronounced completely from its own place of articulation. We don't get rid of it.
Mm-hmm.
We don't pronounce it partially, such as in ikhfa. We don't pronounce it like a mean with ikhfa, like whenever iqlab takes place. We pronounce the noon just ordinarily, normally.
From its
okay,
own
from
place,
its
of,
own
articulation.
Place of articulation. Nasuhan asa. You pronounce the noon completely, and then you pronounce the letter of the throat that is after the tanween. There is a letter of the throat, and they are ayn, ghain, kha, ha,
ha, and hamza.
Ha and hamza, yes. So these are the six letters of the throat.
Thank you, Brother Muhammad, and thank you, dear audience of IRIB English Radio. That was the final part of the program, Let's Recite the Quran. If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. And don't forget to visit our website, that is parstoday.com. Please click on the tab Call of Islam, and there you can listen to this program as well as other programs of this radio. Until next time, we'll leave you in Allah's care. Have a nice time and goodbye. ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياة به. هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان هو القرآن ضياء يملأ الآفاق ونور يبعث الأشواق وفيه محاسن الأخلاق
Ocean of Dua.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين Hello everyone, brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarisi with you with another edition of the program, The Ocean of Dua. In this edition of the program, we'll have a glance at Kumail's supplication and we'll discuss a commentary on that. We'll be back in a few seconds, so stay tuned.
Allahumma inni ataqarrabu ilayka bidhikrak wa astashfi'u bika ila nafsak wa as'aluka bijudika an tudniyani min qurbak wa an tuzi'ani shukrak wa an tulhimani dhikrak.
Brothers and sisters, we were previously talking about the part of the supplication where Imam Ali alayhi salam says, Allahumma inni ataqarrabu ilayka bidhikrik. O Allah, I seek nearness to you through your remembrance. We said that this remembrance has three possible meanings mentioned by scholars for it. The first meaning was the sincere attention to the Almighty Allah. The second was the Holy Quran, as the Holy Quran itself says, "Inna nahnu nazzalna dhikr." And the third one, the Prophet sallallahu and his household. Now, regarding this household, we touched upon the importance of the household of the Prophet and himself, of course, in the previous program. But it is important to note in this regard that we have to purify our hearts from the vices, and we have to adorn it with divine meanings and names. We have to keep the virtues from Satan's assault, and we have to somehow keep ourselves present before Almighty Allah. We have to be aware of His existence in every minute of our life, and we have to practice every obligatory deed by doing anything for the wellness of the people and not just ourselves. And this can be the true embodiment of remembrance of the Almighty Allah. And these are the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt. These are the things that the Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam are teaching us. And this is what puts this meaning, the third meaning of the word remembrance, in line with the two previous meanings. Some of the pious persons, as well as some traditions, suggest that the word remembrance in the Quranic verses and traditions denote interior realities and practical deeds. Remembrance is, in fact, the actualization of Holy Quran, prophets, prophethood, and Imam traditions. And there is no way to seek Almighty Allah's pleasure but through His remembrance. If we refresh Almighty Allah's remembrance in our hearts, if we practice Quranic verses, and if we follow the Prophet and the infallible Imams wholeheartedly, we can gain Almighty Allah's favor and attain prosperity.
Oh Allah, I seek to draw myself nearer to you through your invocation, and I pray to you to intercede on my behalf, and I beg you by your benevolence to draw me nearer to you and grant thankfulness towards you and inspire me to remember and to invoke you. Oh Allah, I ask you begging submissively, humbly and awe-strickenly, to treat me with clemency and mercy, and to make me pleased and content with what you have granted me, and cause me to be modest and unassuming in all circumstances. Oh Allah, I beg as one whose neediness is extreme and who supplicates his knees to you, and whose desire for that which is with you has become great. Oh Allah, great is your kingdom and exalted is your greatness. Your plan is secret, your authority is manifest, your might is victorious and subduing, and your power is prevalent throughout, and it is not possible to escape from your dominion. Oh Allah, apart from you, I do not find anyone able to pardon my sins, nor to conceal my shameful acts, nor do I have anyone except you to change my evil deeds into virtues.
When human heart embraces divine meanings and names of Allah, the impact of these meanings on his soul and mind and all his organs becomes evident. Then a hot and sweet affection occupies his heart, and he becomes the instance of this word, أَشَدُّ حُبًّا لِلَّهِ. And these are the people for which the Holy Quran says, رِجَالٌ لَا تُلْهِهِمْ تِجَارَةٌ وَلَا بَيْعٌ عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. They are the men whom neither traffic nor merchandise can divert from the remembrance of the Almighty Allah. This is a comprehensive position for humans, which places them in Almighty Allah's succession on the earth. And it is in this high position that human will be safe from Satan's fraud. Nothing can distract him from God, and he is the manifestation of remembrance. The Imam of the Believers, Imam Ali alayhi salam, stated heartily, مَا رَأَيْتُ شَيْئًا إِلَّا رَأَيْتُ اللَّهَ قَبْلَهُ وَمَعَهُ وَبَعْدَهُ. I saw nothing except that I saw Allah before it, with it, and after it. And even in this case, Imam Hussein alayhi salam, who was in extreme thirst and hunger in Ashura, he was surrounded by calamities. What did he do? He put his bloody face on the earth before his beloved and said, إِلَهِ رِضًا بِقَضَائِكَ. O Allah, I am happy with your wish. وَصَبْرًا عَلَى بَلَائِكَ. I am patient with your examination. وَتَسْلِيمًا لِأَمْرِكَ. and I'm surrendered to your order. لا معبود لي سواك. There is no deity for me except you. Dear listeners, we are done with this part of the supplication. I assume it's necessary to point out that we took great help from the article named Commentary on Kumail's Supplication, available at al-islam.org. And for further points on this Kumail's Supplication, you may refer to this article. Thank you for staying with us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parstoday.com. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
Stand here so unafraid of everything around me. Proudly I would say I am a Muslim. If you ask her, why does she dress that way, all covered up in a world that gives it all away, proudly she would say I am a Muslim.
Islamic laws.
If you ask him, why does he still pray 5 times a day when so many others have strayed, smiling he would say, I am a Muslim.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God, welcome to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio. With me, Muhammad Javad, hosting this program. And sitting in the studio along with me, Sheikh Javid, well, the dear guest speaker in this program, Islamic Laws. Welcome to the program, Sheikh Javid.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
The pleasure is ours. Stay tuned. We'll be back. This program, Islamic Laws, we're going to talk about the laws about mosque according to Ayatollah Sistani. Let's take a listen to a short biography.
The Grand Ayatollah Sistani comes from the family of scholars and pious men. He learned theological and rational sciences from many eminent and well-known religious scholars. At the age of 5, His Eminence started learning the Holy Quran. He was then admitted in a religious center for reading, writing, and for learning basic mathematics and geography. In the beginning of 1360 Hijri, he started studying basic Hausa lessons. He also studied a number of books on philosophy like Sharh Manzuma Sabzawari and Sharh Ishraq. Meanwhile, he attended Kharij lectures by the late Mirza Mehdi Ashtiani and the late Mirza Hashim Qazvini. In the late 1368 Hijri, he migrated to Qum to accomplish his studies in fiqh and usul. His Eminence left Qum for Najaf al-Ashraf. On having arrived in Najaf, he began attending Qayatullah Khoi and Sheikh Hussain Hilli's lectures in jurisprudence and the fundamentals of jurisprudence. In 1380 Hijri, Ayatollah Sistani traveled back to his hometown, the holy city of Mashhad, expecting to stay and settle down there. In the same year, he was awarded a permit by Imam Al-Khoi and another by Sheikh Hilli, certifying that he had attained the level of ijtihad, that is, deduction of legal judgment in matters of religion.
Sheikh Javid, we are talking about the laws about the mosque according to Ayatollah Sistani. And let me start off this episode with this question. Is it permissible to let a crazy person or a crazy child enter a mosque?
When it comes to insane people or mad or let's say children, you know, Ayatollah Sistani says that generally speaking it is permissible. It's permissible to allow them. It's not haram to let them come in, mad people, provided that those people, mad or insane people, do not disturb other people. Or let's say if a child is allowed to come in, the child may create noise, the child may disturb other people who offer prayers. If this is going to happen, then it is makruh, not haram. Ayatollah Sistani says that it is makruh to let a mad person, an insane person, in, mm-hmm. or to let a child come in and walk around in the mosque. It is makruh.
I see.
Because of these reasons, the main reason, one of the reasons, is that the child may start disturbing other people. A mad person might create noise and create disturbance, preventing people from offering their prayers or actually breaking their concentration, you know. That's mm-hmm. not